It's a great joy to be with you again to share in worship. Charlie and I were thinking, when was I last here? And we think it might have been 5 years ago. So here we are at the beginning of Advent, the beginning of the Christian year. And I want to focus our thoughts this morning on reading the signs of the times. One of my jobs in the Methodist Church as a church leader is to read application forms prior to shortlisting for people applying for jobs within the Methodist Church. And I was really struck by the personal statement of one person who applied for a post, which I'd like to share with you this morning. And he said this: "In my judgment, it's a very exciting time to be a Christian. With all the uncertainties unleashed on the world by the unrest in the Arab world and the rise in power of the Islamic State and the continuing uncertainty in the financial markets, I'm convinced that we as Christians have a word of incalculable value to share, of a warm-hearted, generous-spirited Christianity that can offer hope to the world and our communities, and a vision of hope and change." Fine words. Now, our readings this morning were hardly comfortable. They're about troublesome times and about being awake and alert and aware of what's happening around you. The Old Testament passage would most likely have been written just after the return of the Israelites from exile in Babylon. They had interpreted this as God acting in a mighty way to get them home, so they were looking for him to act in a similar manner in the future. They expected the Messiah to come with great power, the sky to be torn apart and the mountains to quake. When the Messiah was born as a baby in a stable, they did not understand the sign. It didn't match up with their idea of God's mighty action. The gospel reading suggests we should be ready for the return of the Son of Man and says there will be signs, just as you can tell summer is coming by looking at the trees. The warning for us is to be ready, to be aware of what's happening, and reading the signs of the times. But being able to read the signs of the times is not just relevant to the return of the Son of Man, it's relevant to how we live our lives now, and what we aim to do as a church. This is what struck me about the personal statement I shared with you. Here was someone who was excited by the possibilities opening up for the church. Friends, is this something you're excited about? Or is the thought of new possibilities opening up for us in the church not something you've ever given any thought to? Or if you've thought, you've dismissed it as unthinkable? So I want us to focus our thinking today on reading the signs of the times. The rise and popularity of UKIP has caught many people, including politicians, by surprise. Many thought that UKIP was a bit of a joke, but their policies have been attractive to a number of people. After the Clacton and Rochester by-elections, the main political parties are having to face a reality check. Now, the Christian church, to my mind, is also of need from time to time of a reality check. By and large, many churches have changed very little in the past 100 years or so. Buildings may have been upgraded, but the pattern of much of our church life remains fairly constant. The difference is that many churches are declining in numbers, both in members and size of congregation. And in some churches which used to have thriving Sunday schools, there are very few, if any, children. And we wonder where we've gone wrong. I suggest we fail to read the signs of the times and have been either unsure or unwilling to change. Within the area I serve, the three counties of Beds, Essex and Herts, some churches are thriving, but many are not. And it's not just a matter of numbers. It's whether the churches are open and welcoming, whether they're outward looking or preoccupied with their own activities. Leading worship as I do in different churches each week, some large and some small, I'm constantly surprised by what I found. Some churches are caught in a time warp, and if I dare say it, are a little complacent, and a visitor wouldn't feel very welcome. Sadly, I find some churches who are very resistant to change, and despite the willingness of some, others simply block any new initiatives. I guess they're fearful of losing what they cherish and are unwilling to change. The reading from Mark about the servants who were left in charge when their master went away encourages us to be watchful. The servant didn't know when the master would return, but they mustn't be found asleep, so they had to be awake and alert. The reading from 1 Corinthians refers to waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed and the day of our Lord Jesus to come. Although Paul might have been writing about the second coming of Jesus, which at that time was expected imminently, I think it also relates to being ready and alert for the changes and challenges that come up to us. There's a hymn that's sung called "The Church in Christ, of Christ in Every Age, Beset by Change but Spirit-led, Must Claim and Test Its Heritage and Keep on Rising from the Dead." We can't assume that the way we did things in the past is still appropriate today. We have to keep checking that what we are doing still meets the needs of the people in our community. Well, what's all this to say about Advent? When in our readings, we can sense a longing for God to do something, that the world's in a mess, that the churches are sleeping, and it's about time that we woke up, were alert, and got our act together. I rarely find that Christians are expecting great things of God, and so they're not disappointed when nothing much happens in the life of the church. It takes something dramatic to happen for things to be shaken up and come alive. Think of the fuss that happened in Herod's court when he heard that a new king had been born. What a threat! What a challenge! It hadn't happened for 2,000 years. Is it realistic to expect it to happen soon? The problem is that we as a country are so far from God. It's so different from the turn of the last century, where church going was as much part of life as shopping or going to work. What's happened? I understand that we now spend more on enjoying ourselves than on the essentials of life. Have our priorities got muddled up? Someone told me that when she applied to an ordinary, not a church teacher training college after the war, she had to have a reference from a minister. And she found that really hard as she wasn't attached to a particular church at the time. The thought of someone needing a reference for a minister to go to college or university is unbelievable today. As a country, we're far from God being a God-fearing nation, or a people for whom religious belief is an important part of our lives. I do think we'd like God to do something in the world and sort out the problems, stop the fighting, get people to care for one another and show a bit of respect. Perhaps we hope that people will suddenly come to their senses and realize that their lives are empty without God. But I don't think we're prepared for people to come back to church. Why? Because because we ourselves have settled into a comfortable pattern of living in the church and at home. We're rarely challenged by our faith. We know where we are and we like it, and we don't want to be disturbed. One of the things in the partnership that you no doubt value is that Charlie has been the priest here since 1991. Now, Jean will tell you, there's not a Methodist church in the land that's had the same priest for that as long as that. And so Methodist churches are always getting upset and disturbed when somebody new comes along and mucks things up the way things used to be done. Here, you've not had such disturbances, unless Charlie's had a midlife crisis and suddenly changed or something. I don't know, I wouldn't like to comment on that. We know where we are. We like it and don't really want to be disturbed. But beware. Is this not what Christ found when he came to earth? Is not this not what the prophets found when they came to proclaim a message from God, a warning? People didn't want to hear. They didn't recognize the signs of the times or want to remotivate themselves. Every now and then, we get a new preacher who fires us up. We say, he or she is a breath of fresh air. And we need this. For in the winter months, it's so comfortable to stay in the warmth of our homes and almost hibernate. We need someone to open the windows, let in some fresh air and bracing air and wake us up. What's the most essential thing about being a Christian? Coming to church, meeting our friends, saying our prayers. The most important thing to my mind is to wait upon God, to listen to God, to study God's word, and to discover him new each day. We need a living faith that we can share with people. What do we believe? Why are we Christians? How do we share the good news we have? Come to church, we say. Come and join our fellowship. That's not enough. What we do in church is so foreign to those who've not been brought up in the church. No, we need to offer people Jesus. Jesus the man. Jesus the saviour. Jesus the baby born to be king. Christmas is a special time. We love the nativity plays and the Christingles and the carol services. But that isn't enough. They're not designed to make us feel good, but to fire us up for action, to respond to God coming actively into the world, to change things and to change us. So in this season of Advent, watch and wait and be open to God doing a new thing. And may God lead you in the coming months to new ventures of faith and mission, so that this church may be a vibrant center for God's work in this town, and you be God's living people in your communities, in your work, in your homes, and amongst your friends, so that people really know that Jesus is alive today.